welcome exceptional women to the Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women, your go-to spot to receive the real about being a boss. I am your host, Dr. Michelle S. Thomas, multiple minority business owner and proud founder CEO of the Exceptional Woman Enterprise. Each episode will give you valuable insights on building the confidence you need to succeed. Sit back, relax, and let's learn to be loud and proud about what we bring to this world of business. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women, the podcast where we delve into the world of women entrepreneurship, exploring our challenges, celebrating our successes, and listening to some of our inspiring stories of women in business. On today's episode, I want to touch base on some of the current challenges that are faced by women entrepreneurs, especially within that work-life balance. All right, let's dive right into this discussion. We as women entrepreneurs have made remarkable strides within recent years, but we still face many challenges. While we have made that significant progress, we still face obstacles such as limited access to capital, a lack of really strong mentorship programs and role models, and even still facing gender biases in various forms. Many of us struggle to be taken seriously in traditionally male-dominated industries. This can truly affect our confidence and our ability to really grow our business. In addition, women entrepreneurs often face work-life balance challenges as we tend to take on disproportionate shares of the domestic responsibilities. This can make it difficult to devote the time and the energy needed to grow our businesses. Furthermore, we encounter difficulties in networking and building true support systems, which are critical for our success. As a mom, as a wife, as a grandmother, I can attest to the struggle, not only just the time-wise, but the emotional struggle that I went through launching my businesses. I spent over 30 years ensuring that my family, my husband, my kids, the household was taken care of to the best of my ability. And so I assumed that when it was time for me to focus in on my career, my business, my entrepreneurship, that it would be a welcoming transition. And I'll be transparent with you guys, it was not. It was not something that my family readily even embraced in the beginning. I think that they assumed that this was kind of a hobby for me. This was something that I could do in the midst of the pastime of their needs and the household needs. And that created tension. It created a stress point between my marriage and my adult children, now that they had their own children. I think there was an expectation of what my time would look like in these latter parts of my life. And so for me, the biggest challenge for me was to be able to articulate the unknown. Anybody can relate to that? So you step into your entrepreneur journey based off of the information that you know. And with me being a career corporate person, and I've always worked, I've worked since the age of 14, there were portions of this journey that I thought I was prepared for, but quickly realized that I wasn't. So it brings up that first level of challenge that I wanted to discuss is how do you prepare your family for this new journey of yours when you aren't prepared for it? And so it's podcasts like this. It is conversations like this conversation that I hope can help better prepare another woman entrepreneur for this journey where I was not. This wasn't something that was readily discussed amongst my circle or conversation. And when you base it off of the information that you see from social media and the snapshots that you see of other people's success, I feel like that we as women are doing each other an injustice because we don't tell the full story. We don't tell the transparency of the struggles and the letdowns and the emotional toll that this entrepreneur journey can take on us, take on our marriage, take on our families. So although my children were adult children and I had been there, it was them getting them to see me in a different light, getting them to understand my focus and the time that it was going to take to build this up. You know, you don't walk into this journey with a already established product. It is trial and error. It's failures and success. It is pouring day and night. If that's what you choose to do, if this is going to be your legacy, it's going to take a lot of time. This is not the typical 9-to-5. And so what happens as a woman that our male counterparts don't experience is the pull. How do I do this? How do I manage the household things that everybody's used to me taking care of? And now, which takes a lot of time. And fellas, if you're listening to this, let me just kind of open your eyes to just some things that I think is a misconception. Being at home and taking care of the home and taking care of the family is a double full-time responsibility. There's a lot of moving pieces, and we as women navigate that responsibility completely different than you as a man would. We are more involved and pulled into a lot of the intricacies of the family that most males don't even see. It's just kind of done. And that doesn't mean that men cannot do it. It's just that traditional role. And just our DNA, how we are made up and how we're designed. So I just want to put that out there to our guys. And we do. We have a lot of male followers that support the Exceptional Woman Enterprise and all of our entities. So I just want to drop that nugget of giving you a moment to hear from someone else that's not your spouse, that's not your girlfriend, that's not your significant other. That to say, give her some grace, give her grace and really take some time out to learn all that she has poured into the facilitating of home. To diminish that not only affects us and her as a woman, but it also really impacts her confidence and her ability to step into the new role of being an entrepreneur if the very people that she's doing this for, that she loves, that are the sound system that she hears in stereo, if those people that are so important to her life spend more time diminishing her intellect, her capabilities, her contribution to the overall success of the family, it impacts how she walks into her journey of being a leader and a business owner. If she feels like that the people that know her best don't believe in her and don't feel like that any of the things that she's done for them has had any type of positive impact, then how does she go into her business and lead others into feeling good about who she is and what she's capable of doing? So that's just a thought. That's just yet a personal note from the archives of Dr. Michelle S. Thomas to help us be better communicators in this journey. So it's clear that within this segment of the podcast, we're not going to be able to address all of the challenges because they're multifaceted and interconnected. But let's really discuss the potential solutions and strategies for overcoming some of these challenges. First, I want to discuss how women entrepreneurs address the issue of limited access to capital. What I found is one way to tackle this is through education and financial literacy. Women entrepreneurs should understand their financial needs and have a solid business plan. Additionally, seeking out female-focused funding opportunities and networking with organizations and investors that support women-led businesses can make a huge difference. What does that look like? Well, again, as you guys know, I talk a lot about our impact from social media and what we receive. Whether it is a program that I'm offering or anyone is offering, I need you to really dive into how you see yourself within that program. What do I mean by that? If your business is a service-oriented business, but you are following someone that is giving financial advice or business planning for product-based businesses, the information you can pull from, but it's going to make it a lot more difficult for you to completely apply all of the tools and resources to your type of business. So that's where that mentoring comes in. That's a huge leverage for you and your financial literacy. Partner yourself and pair yourself with companies and networks and people that have a wide variety and diverse offering to allow you to pull bits and pieces from a plethora of knowledge, especially when it comes to financial literacy, because each one of our pathways and our journeys are going to be different. There's no business launch that looks the same. We can give you the fundamentals and the foundation of launching your business or the fundamentals and foundation of financial literacy, but to handle the day-to-day nuances and triggers and changes that are going to come and impact your business, you need that mentor. You need that network that can advise you through these changes, these intricate changes that are going to happen. Here are things that are going to affect your ability or the shifts in your business. is your seed money. How much money do you have to be able to invest into the startup of this business or the scaling of this business? It is the team that you have. Is this a solo project and you're building and you're bootstrapping your business? Or do you have capital that you can bring in partners and employees and team members to help you accelerate this growth? So these are just a couple of concepts that you have to consider when you are looking into your financial literacy. I find it interesting that a lot of times when I am coaching and mentoring women entrepreneurs, there's a lot, over 80% of the response that I get is, well, I pay somebody to do this. And so here's my challenge to you ladies. Even if you are paying someone or subcontracting out or bartering services for someone to take care of your finances, this is your baby. This is your dream, your vision, your business. How do you gauge if that person is completely servicing you on the level that you need if you do not have a certain basis of financial literacy? I'm an old girl, so I always reflect back to the TLC story. The young ladies, they were phenomenal and they sold millions of dollars worth of records, only to find out that the people that were managing them did not have their best interests at heart. So these three young ladies walked away from a lucrative career with almost nothing. And that's because they trusted the people around them. They didn't know enough about the business world to be able to navigate this. And this is not any type of put down or anything against those ladies. Most of us enter into these journeys, for lack of a better term, or these endeavors, with some aspect of blindness. And so the better way to prepare yourself for the best execution of your business is to surround yourself with people that are well-versed in areas that you are not. But you must become the sponge. Anyone that's starting in this entrepreneur journey and with the expectation that you can just be hands off with this, you're setting yourself up for failure. Mentoring is an invaluable resource for you. Actively seek out mentors and networks that have experience within your industry. Build relationships with other women entrepreneurs that also can lead to informal mentoring and support networks. Create that connection. But first of all, do not be afraid to ask. Sometimes we are led to believe that we have to be the expert in everything in order for us to show up in our business. But no one, absolutely no one is an expert in all. So I want to encourage you to really vet out the sources that you are watching or listening or following within social media or email campaigns or whatever. Really vet out that source and make sure that they are walking their talk. I'm so proud to be the founder and the CEO of the Exceptional Woman Network, because I have designed this to foster this very type of safe space mentorship and industry-specific education that is necessary for us women in today's time to overcome these barriers. So connect with us, but it doesn't have to just be us. I'm not that person that says that I'm the only person that you can connect with. There's some amazing networks out there. But make sure that that network understands you. Make sure that that network can truly support you and your journey before that's the platform that you join. So, on with our next challenge, the next thing that is very prominent that's impacting women entrepreneurs is gender biases. You know, we all want to portray and position ourselves to say that we don't have biases. But as a human being, it comes natural. Every last one of us has some sort of micro biases that we contain from our environment, from our upbringing, from our exposure, from trauma, from pain. The challenge and what makes the most successful entrepreneur is the person who is not only open to understanding their micro biases, but actively seeks out ways to balance, counterbalance, and test those micro biases so that it does not negatively impact their business. So, overcoming gender biases can be a journey. Sometimes it can be a long journey, but it starts with building confidence, resilience, and a strong personal brand. Women entrepreneurs should actively challenge stereotypes and biases as we use our unique perspective as a strength within our businesses. It's also important to seek out allies, both male and female, who can help champion your cause. I speak about this often, whether it's on stages or within our monthly networking program. I often talk about how I invite other networks and other people to come into the Exceptional Woman Network, not as members, but as partners, because the only way that we are going to make historical advances for women in within business, within our entrepreneurship, within our journeys, is we have to stand together. And women of color especially, we have a number. We represent close to 89% of the daily businesses that are launched within the U.S. But we also buy into what I call the invisible chains of slavery, where we've allowed people to condition us to believe that we are each other's competitor, and we're not. Even if we're in the same business, even if we offer the same products and services, we are not each other's competitor. We have to learn how to stand together, how to become allies of each other, how to support each other in order for us to make movement and great strides within overcoming this gender bias that is very prominent, especially when it comes down to our financial advocacy and our partnerships. So I want you to really take a moment within your own journey and really ask yourself and dive into what your micro biases are. Make yourself a T-chart and write down what you feel like your micro biases are, and then find that good partner, that person that works with you, or that good girlfriend, or someone that really knows you, and have them to write down what they perceive your micro biases to be, and see what the crossover effect is. The things that you see and they see, if it has a crossover, then that may be the challenge that you have to work on your own before we ask anyone to fix their biases. We have to fix our own, okay? And especially amongst women, how do we view other women? How do we show up for other women? How do we support? Do we support while they're in our presence and then actively try to break them down when they're not? Do we allow other people to dismantle or disrespect our sister entrepreneurs without stepping in and challenging that or becoming their protector? Do we allow our sisters in business to show up wrong and we just use it as a platform to get attention for ourselves? Or do we find the best way to go and have a conversation with her? Not a public thing, not a way to air it out, but really pull her to the side and help fix her crown. So I want to hear back from you ladies. I want to hear back about what your research was. What did you find out that your own microbiases were? Do you find that you only want to deal with women that look like you? And I will be transparent. In this world of business, if you aren't able to cross over into other cultures, other ethnicities, other religions, other global markets, then you're going to find yourself limiting your ability to grow. And for some community businesses, that might be okay. But if you're looking to really scale and turn this into your legacy, then you yourself are going to have to challenge yourself in learning what other cultures, what other ethnicities, what other people that don't walk in your ecosystem, what their needs are, what their desires are, and what their hot buttons are, so that you can better speak to that. So, finally, I want to talk about how we better manage this work-life balance and build a proper support system. Work-life balance is a tough nut for us to crack, especially as women, because we want to be that fixer. But in order for us to create this balance, it involves us setting clear boundaries. We must learn how to outsource or delegate tasks when possible. And we have to, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, learn to have open conversations without the emotion, but have an open conversation with our families and partners about our business goals. Now, that means that you have to know what your goals are. And if you're unclear about the goals, my advice is please don't start this conversation because you are going to find yourself all over the place. So set your goals, figure out what your annual, your quarterly, what your weekly, your daily goals look like. Write that down so that you can keep yourself on track and articulate this conversation without the accusatory tone or the victim mentality, but really have this educated, almost business-like conversation with your family and your partners about what your journey is going to look like. Building that strong support system could include joining other women entrepreneur associations or networks or communities that can provide invaluable emotional and practical support as you move through this process. So these are some of the practical steps. And I want to first thank you for tuning in to this podcast. And I hope that we have been able to provide some valuable insights on these topics. As we wrap up, I want to share a story with you. I always want to try to share some success stories with you just to talk about how these applicable steps can really help. I had a client who started a tech company, and despite facing initial skepticism, securing funding, she is now a leader in her field. She did this by building a diverse team and embracing her uniqueness. You'll hear me talk about your unique qualifier a lot. Her story is a testament to the potential of women entrepreneurs. So you take your unique qualifier. You don't run away from it. We don't need to try to build our business upon someone else's shoes, but you take your strengths and you use it as a source and a resource to push through these challenges and obstacles. How you overcome it may be different than someone else because of your resources. So as I close in this, ladies, I want to let you know that despite any challenges, the triumphs and successes of your entrepreneur journey and your legacy is a complete testament to your resilience and determination for your own success. As I close, I want to say female entrepreneurship is such an inspiring journey that navigates a landscape filled with obstacles, but it's also marked by remarkable triumphs. We must recognize the progress made and the potential that lies ahead. By addressing the challenges and celebrating the triumphs of us as women entrepreneurs, we can create a more inclusive and equitable business world. Let's please continue to support, empower, and champion the woman who blazes a trail in the entrepreneurial landscape, for her successes is a testament to the strength of her human spirit and the power of diversity within the world of business.
Thanks for tuning in to another amazing episode of the Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women. Until next time, remember, be inspirational, be legendary, but most of all, be exceptionally you.